The term ice cream parlour may conjure up many images in your mind. 1950s America with teenagers on dates, eating at Knickerbocker Glories and glancing shyly at each other whilst trying not to tip the tall glass and its contents over yourself. British seaside holidays, perhaps, fighting off seagulls trying to steal your treat as you walk along the seafront. Whatever your mental image is, it's unlikely to involve the tubs the ice cream is usually stored in being used to hold body parts, nor the basement under where you're sitting being used to store the same for over 2 years. Would you like sprinkles or sauce with that? This is the case of Goitsagi Estabaliz Carranza Zabala, and this is Murder Me on Monday.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Murder Me on Monday podcast. I'm Cameron, and joined with me is Mother.
Hello.
Did you need to add extra tongue twisters in there? You said Knickerbocker Glory for a start, and you're going to struggle with this person's name. Why did you pick the most obscure random name that's going to struggle to be found on any kind of search engine thing ever? No one's going to find this.
Well, thankfully, she's known as Esty.
How did you find this? Because you did not search that name up, because you struggled to say that.
No, I did. You're absolutely right. I didn't find it through that. I found it through one of the random click this, read that. Oh, that looks interesting. Oh, heck, I found it.
Yeah. Did it come up in the news cycle recently or something?
No, it didn't. It really didn't. It's just one of these random weird ones. And after some of the really horrible, gruesome ones we've had recently, obviously this is horrible and gruesome, but it's different. Very, very different to normal. And if you all now have 50 Cent and Candy Shop as an earworm, I'm sorry. Esty was born on the 6th of September 1978 in Mexico City. She was the eldest daughter of a well-known Mexican writer who was an expert in indigenous civilizations and esoteric and shamanic themes. Some places, however, say he was a reporter with political leanings. But this is probably a start to the myths around this case. Not sure. Many places say that the politics became a problem and the family were raided by government forces and had to flee their home. Her mother was Spanish, so it made sense that when Esty was 5, the whole family moved to Barcelona in Spain after that government raid. Maybe. You think Mexico and Spain speak the same language, and essentially it is. But it's nuanced, apparently, more to do with dialect. Like, we would understand someone, Cameron, with a broad Bristolian accent, but perhaps someone from the USA may struggle with that.
They think we're Australian, usually. or South African.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Yeah. Esty's childhood was not great, by all accounts. Dad was a tyrant. The family struggled, as Barcelona is much more expensive to live than Mexico, obviously, and Dad seemingly struggled to find work. No idea about her mum. Esty eventually goes on to study economics at university and finally gets her first boyfriend. They stay together for 5 years and then, according to the stories, he ups and leaves her. No explanation.
Does he actually up and leave her? Is he found ever again?
I want to know that fact. It's never mentioned in anything. I want to know that this bloke is alive.
Any names?
No, nothing. Esty then does what a lot of people do after a breakup. She moves away. First to Munich in Germany, working as an au pair for a friend. And then to Bavaria. And then Nuremberg, where she works at an ice cream parlour and learns German. It is now 2002. Esty is 24 years old. In Nuremberg, Esty meets 36-year-old Holger Holz, who was originally from Berlin. The couple start dating. Esty is still waitressing, and Holger was a salesman. In many places, his occupation is specifically called out as a refrigerator salesman, so perhaps she met him at the ice cream parlour she worked at. Maybe. They are only dating a very short while when Holger asks Esty to marry him. There is nothing in any of the written accounts what type of wedding or the exact date. if family and friends were present. Nothing. I can't work out the reason for the rush. There would have been no need to marry for visa reasons. Germany and Spain are part of the Schengen zone. Esty would have dual citizenship with Mexico and Spain. So it must have been for love, right? The Schengen zone is simply 27 countries in Europe that abolished border controls. That doesn't mean no security at a border, some more so than others. However, they do still check your passports. It's more about not having to have visas to get in. It's freedom of movement. The newly married couple moves to Berlin. It's Holger's hometown and probably didn't make much difference to Esty where they lived, as she soon managed to get another waitressing job. Holger is also described as a member of the Hare Krishna faith. Some accounts say he was a member before meeting Esty. Others say it came about after they married. I'm not doing a deep dive into that movement because you all know I will never be able to pronounce all the terms, but I was surprised to find that it was founded in New York City in 1966, but today its headquarters are in West Bengal in India. Next bit is for you, Cameron, and Bruce.
Yes.
Apparently, Hare Krishna is a unique form of, I'm going to struggle with this, monotheistic core beliefs, which are based on Hindu scriptures and the interpretation of those by the founder.
So monotheism just means the belief in one God. So traditional Christian would be God. Even though you have kind of Jesus and the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and depending on the scripture, they're three separate people. So which one do you kind of worship? Is it all three? Whereas something like traditional Hinduism, they're polytheistic. They believe in more than one God. They have different gods for different purposes.
So that makes sense because they're talking about Krishna, so that would be their one God. Yeah. You're actually made more sense than half the stuff I actually tried to read because
their
I just got lost.
Thing is a cycle of reincarnation and karma. So if you're a piece of shit in this life, you come back as something worse in the next.
Well, that might explain a few things. There's some quite famous followers or ex-followers.
Well, if you're doing really well in life, you could be convinced that it's because you did something good in your past life. So that's kind of why. Because you could look at people and be like, well, they're a bad person, but they're doing really well this time. Or it's because they were good before. So you could kind of be weirdly mental gymnastic into believing it, I think.
Yeah. Annie Lennox used to follow it, and now apparently she's an atheist. Boy George still follows it. George Harrison of the Beatles. And Russell Brand as well.
I don't know how much of a controlling religion it is in the sense of something like Buddhism, which basically just like be chill and have good vibes by comparison. I don't even think they have a god. Buddha's not a god. He's a idol to live by rather than a strict deity or a god.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why we're getting into religion. No. I'm sure it's not even that relevant to the case.
No.
Carry on.
Well, I thought Hare Krishna was a very peaceful religion. I've seen them out in the saffron robes many times in London.
Are they bald? I feel like they should be bald.
Not
I don't know
always.
Why.
That's Buddhists I think you're thinking of, but it's not always. I've seen them giving out food. I've even eaten some of the food, which was actually rather good. And whilst they only have four main rules, which are no gambling, no intoxicants, which includes tea and coffee, no infidelity, and the food-related one of no meat, eggs or fish. There is the usual infighting, and there have been some big scandals and temples being blown up or set on fire. I don't know. The couple moved again. It's like they were on wheels, they moved so much. This time it ended up being Vienna. And they opened an ice cream shop called Schleckeria in Oswaldgasse in the Meidling district. Pictures from that time show a three-story building with a shop on a corner. The front is painted bright yellow. A plastic cone with scoops of ice cream showing is mounted high on the wall like a barber's pole. A couple of tables and chairs sit outside in the rain with a large sign on the front of the building saying Ice Cafe and Schleckeria. That name, Schleckeria or Schleckeria, it doesn't translate to anything in English that I can find. I can't even find if it means anything else. So where that name came from, I've no idea. I don't know if it's like saying Smith or Jones as a surname. I've no idea. I've linked in the Yelp site for this, as the pictures online are owned by Getty. Yelp isn't. There are no reviews. Vienna is one of those places, isn't it? Full of history. The capital of Austria, with a population of around 2 million people. The area this ice cream parlour was in is very residential, but lots of parks and open spaces. Large population, so probably a lot of local footfall. According to Esti, Holger went from what we would think of as a kind and gentle man of such a faith to this raging beast who was violent and physically abused her, and then on to psychological abuse and economic abuse. They lived in an apartment above the ice cream parlour, and the marriage deteriorated until 2007 when they divorced. But they seemed tied together by money. Esti couldn't get Holger to leave the apartment and couldn't buy him out of the business. Holger also rarely left the apartment, didn't seem to have a job, and spent his time playing computer games. I doubt very much that he worked in the parlour either.
I was going to ask about that. If he didn't have a job, what was he doing for income? And if she couldn't buy him out of the ice cream business, why wasn't he then working?
Exactly. Man, none of it makes any sense.
Who's reporting is this? Is this what she has said?
Some of it comes, all of it comes from her. But the problem with all of this is, no matter where you drill it down to, it all goes back to really bad original reporting in either German or Spanish. It's been a journey. This joblessness seems to have been a major problem for Esti. Many times she's described him as lazy. 27th of April 2008. I'm assuming there had been high tension, maybe arguments, or perhaps it was resentment boiling over. But that evening, Esti was dressed up for a date with another man she'd met online. She later says, "He told me, 'Esti, give up looking. You're never going to find another man.' That was when it happened." And it's interesting she used the word "it." "There were four of his guns on the table. I took one of them and walked up behind him. I pointed the gun at his head and pulled it once, twice, three times." She actually shot him twice in the back of the head and once in the temple. Kill shots. No coming back from that. And she goes out on her date. She leaves him in the chair for a few days, decomposing, as she tried to work out what to do with him. She put him in a bathtub and somehow, it's not explained how, tried to burn him using schnapps as an accelerant. She actually tried to flambe him. She genuinely thought he would turn to ash.
I thought you were going to say she tried to dissolve him with lye or some kind of acid.
No.
Why would you have to burn someone? For a start, you're in a house above your ice cream parlour. I mean, she's obviously going to stuff him somewhere cold. There's an ice cream parlour below you. You've got something cold there. Is that what happens?
Eventually.
Based on your intro, something happens.
Eventually.
I eat Ben and Jerry's. There are little tubs. I can't hide a foot or a toe. I can't hide much in there. She's got a whole fucking ice cream parlour below her.
It's bizarre. Our sanity checker yet again came up trumps with an observation about how it was a waste of schnapps. I then bizarrely wondered if it was peach or mint. I'm sure other flavours.
Is it even a high alcohol content? Will it even burn well?
No.
There has to be... Oh, she's mumming up.
Yeah. The smoke was that thick. She was afraid she would be discovered as the fire brigade turned up. And she managed to tell them, "Don't worry, I just burnt some food." And they left. There is a lot of online speculation and it's hard to tell what's the truth. She seems to claim that she told the firefighters she had burnt fish. And many people have run with that, and that's what burnt human flesh smells like. But that's incorrect. Again, many different opinions. Chicken, beef, pork, or just plain fat. Some people apparently smell better than others too. I ended up in some very strange places. And spinal fluid apparently smells sweet, like perfume when it's burnt or boiled is probably more correct. She'd gotten rid of the fireman, but still had to do something about this body.
I think she would have said it smelled like fish, because if he's been decomposing for a period of time, there's going to be a natural smell in the air. And if people have reported that it smells like pork, that could be due to them cooking after killing with the intent to eat, I'm assuming. I don't know, or just to get rid of body, I'm not sure. But if there's a pungent smell of something in the air, you're not going to think it's beef, chicken or pork. You're probably going to think it's fish.
It's interesting you say that. I saw a lot of speculation from people that claimed they were firefighters. And they said that you absolutely would know the smell of burnt, decomposing flesh being a firefighter. And they said it didn't smell like that. And then there were other people popping into various conversations saying, oh, I work in XYZ industry and yes, it does. And I don't bloody know. I ended up in some very strange places and I can't confirm it. What it actually does smell like. But anyway, Esty goes off to a local hardware shop to find something to deal with Holger. She gets the shop assistant to show her how to use what she buys, a chainsaw. They do come in all sizes, but I ended up with all sorts of mental images and wondered what, if anything, the neighbours were like. Gunshots, no reaction. Thick, black, acrid smoke, no reaction. And now a chainsaw? I later discovered that Esty said she would put on the ice cream making machine and blame that for the noise rather than the chainsaw. But they don't sound remotely alike. But that's, again, another possible myth around this case.
Yeah, but if our next-door neighbour starts drilling, we assume it's a drill and not something else. If you hear clapping, like a clock, 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 you think it's a horse, not a zebra, don't you? If you hear a weird vibration, you think it's the ice cream, next ice cream parlour, not a chainsaw to cut up a body.
True, true. Okay, I'll give you that. Esty dismembered Holger. He must have been in a heck of a state and she had a strong stomach. She packed him up in plastic boxes and stored him in a freezer. Some must have been left in the apartment. And books herself an urgent manicure appointment. That's cold. Like Holger was. Sorry. That was all in April 2008. Come the autumn, Esty was due to move from the apartment, but not from the shop. She decided to make things a little more permanent for Holger. I ended up on some biohazard sites, but I'm sure that freezing him would stop the smell of decomposition. But I imagine there would still be a lingering smell of burning. She definitely said that the smell would not go away and spraying perfume didn't help. Well, no, it wouldn't. It's masking it. Her solution was to empty out the freezer and put some of the parts in a bucket and fill it with cement. One part was his head, which was still frozen. His torso was still in the bottom of the freezer, whole. She just poured cement over him and left him. Cement definitely stops the smell until it's broken up. Esty gets a couple of friends to move this freezer to the basement of the ice cream parlour and stored the rest of him in there and left the bucket in the basement and locked the door and forgot about it. Esty just told people who asked where Holger was that he'd gone off to join a sect in India and no one questioned it. Esty isn't good at relationships, is she? The first one at uni for 5 years and guy up and left and I don't know where he is. And it was 2002-2008 with Holger.
I don't know. I think someone who's been in two long-term relationships is better at being in relationships than someone who bounces for 6 months to a year but has more of them. Because you have to be doing something right for those 5 years.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's like a 5-year expiration point with her. However, she meets and gets sucked into something with a chap called Manfred Hinterberger, who was a 48-year-old ice cream machine salesman. I don't know much about him, but he wasn't a good guy. He apparently invested money in the ice cream parlour. He then had a hold over Esty. She didn't learn.
Manfred Hinterberger is the kind of name J.K. Rowling would use to describe a chef in Harry Potter.
This guy couldn't stay faithful to her, but he wanted Esty to be perfect. She had to take up sport to keep thin, had to have Botox, had to do all of this to keep him. But he wouldn't give her what she wanted, a family. And he had started to drink heavily and, according to her, was abusive. He had dating profiles which described his perfect woman, and she lamented it wasn't her. She was stuck again. Couldn't get rid of him due to the money he had invested, and, well, she did it last time with Holger, so let's have another go. But let's be a bit more prepared. She goes and takes lessons at a shooting range. She takes lessons, it said, on how to mix concrete at a local hardware store. I've never heard of anything like that, but anything is possible, I guess. Maybe it's a store she bought the chainsaw from. She must have watched a few true crime shows, as she gets a lot of plastic sheeting.
It doesn't sound weird, though. As a small business owner, learning how to set and lay your own concrete would make sense, I guess.
DIY lessons could be a huge moneymaker for some of these stores that do sell all this stuff. How to use...
the stuff.
The stuff, yeah. Never heard of it, though. On the 21st of November 2010, Esty waits for Manfred to go to sleep after a drunken argument over an affair. She says, he turned his face to the wall and started snoring. I was so angry, I had the gun under the mattress. I took it out, loaded, and shot. She actually shoots him 4 times in the back of the head. I think she probably hated him even more than Holger. Yes, it's the same gun she shot Holger with. She again cuts Manfred up with a chainsaw. It's the same one. At least she didn't try and incinerate him. And she put his body parts in with Holger in the basement. By this point, there were 3 freezers stored in that basement. Anyone who asked where Manfred was were told he'd gone to Thailand. And Esty carried on with her life. And again, meets a man called Roland R. And again, gets into a relationship, and whether by accident or by design, she falls pregnant by him. She now has the life she wanted. It all comes crumbling down when something goes wrong with a neighbour's plumbing in June of 2011. It's never been made clear how the workers got into her basement or even why they were in the freezers, but Esty's little freezer graveyard was discovered on the 6th of June 2011. Esty clears out her bank account, grabs her passport, and heads to the airport, thinking she would go to Paris. She finally figured out that she would likely be stopped at security, so instead decides to take a taxi to Italy. Even to the border, it's over 200 miles in about 3.5 hours. The taxi driver must have been in heaven thinking about that fare, but apparently she stiffed him, and I can't find out what she actually did, because the site's dead. She actually ended up in a place called Udine, or Udine, 300 miles away from Vienna, and is promptly arrested by Italian police, no doubt on an international arrest warrant. There's no messing about. She is extradited back to Austria on the 24th of June and slung in prison, where she gives birth in January of 2012. And her and Roland actually marry when in prison in the March. Initial reports were that her parents took the child, but others write that the child went to his father. I wondered if that marriage was a strategic move on Roland's part to ensure he got custody of his child, because they do divorce after about 6 months. Maybe he was going to be on a financial hook with her defence costs, so wanted out. Roland also probably didn't want to deal with the level of crazy that was Esty when the psychiatric reports were released in around June of 2012, which is a year on from the original arrest. Narcissism, dependence, and histrionism, not histrionic disorder, histrionism, so cluster B. Plus, they said that she had a very, very high chance of doing this again if she was free. And she was also described as a princess looking for a prince to always rescue her. They said that Esty just leaving a relationship wasn't in her makeup. She had to kill them. It was just easier in her mind. On the 19th of November 2012, the trial of Ice Lady, the Ice Lady, began, as the case was dubbed by the Austrian media. The prosecution said that Esty was cold and cruel and had never shown any remorse. The defence's strategy was that Esty only comes across that way as she is drugged up on sedatives prescribed to her by the psychiatrists. Esty did apologise to the court for killing Holger and Manfred, but was inevitably found guilty of murder and given life imprisonment, but was sentenced to be put into a criminal mental institution. The prosecution didn't like that. They actually filed an appeal. They thought she would be in a normal prison. That appeal was rejected by the Vienna High Regional Court in March of 2013. This is not quite the end of the case, however. 2014, Esty collaborates with a reporter and writes a book, My Two Lives, The True Story of the Ice Lady. The not being allowed to profit from a crime was very cleverly gotten round in this case by her instructing that all the proceeds should be sent to her child with Roland.
Is that all you need to do to get around that?
Maybe in Austria. I don't think I've ever heard of it anywhere else.
Because why wouldn't you just do that to begin with? Why wouldn't anyone that's a high profile case, murderer, whatever have you,
exactly,
just circumvent it? Oh, all the profit goes to my kid, not me. So therefore, I'm no, you are. It goes to your estate almost.
Yeah. The publisher came out with, no, she's just decided not to take all of the money in deference to the victims, as in like an apology. But then it comes out, actually, the money's actually going to her child. So it was weird. I can't find a copy of that book anywhere. It doesn't appear to have been translated into English, but I also can't find a German copy, so no idea if it was successful or not. By 2017, something must have happened, as it's announced that Esty cannot stay in the facility she was in, but would have to be transferred to an all-male penitentiary in Asten, Upper Austria. It was said that she was just too dangerous, and this new facility was state of the art. At the time, it had 91 male prisoners, but 13 women were also due to be transferred there later with Esty. So it's a mixed facility then. Clickbait headline just for attention, and it got plenty.
Well, I've seen where prisons will be mixed, but they're segregated. So they will have men and women on site, but they are completely separate. There's no crossover, even during food or anything, even out in the yard.
Yeah. But the way that this all came out in the press, that she was going into a man's prison because she's too dangerous. And it's only when you dig into it.
It's a co-ed prison.
Yeah. And there's 13 other women being sent there as well. It also sounds to me like it was a facility for mentally ill and dangerous people, because there were 45 nurses there, 18 therapists, 4 doctors, and only 8 prison guards. It also sounded rather hostel-like, as inmates were allowed to cook meals together in their single or double cells, and they were able to freely roam about the grounds and watch TV in the lounge. It sounds very much like Broadmoor. I really do hope, though, like you say, that there's no mixing of the prisoners, because I think she would definitely try and con someone again. The last we hear after this is that Esty, or at least her lawyer, was looking to get her transferred to a prison in Spain so she could see her child. It's not explained or clear in any way why that child would be in Spain. If Ronald was Spanish, if the child was with him, or was the child with her parents, which seems unlikely. I also can't see Spain accepting someone so expensive to keep in such a facility. She got a life sentence. Austria would be very unlikely to let her go to Spain unless they agreed to keep her locked up, surely. Plus a secure mental facility in Spain. And no prisoner swaps happen. But I can't see that in this case, and definitely nothing has come out about it actually happening. This was a doozy of a case, German and Spanish translations, which were fun, with some huge grammatical errors, let alone the same mistakes being repeated across mediums and some out and out weird claims, such as that she had hid body parts in flower pots in the basement. There are a couple of podcasts and a few YouTube videos, but nothing much. One really bizarre documentary on ID that is definitely about her, but uses a completely different fictional name for Esty. And one really bonkers blog about the book that I found. We have covered a few cases where the victims have been supposedly cooked and eaten or perhaps fed to the general public, but they are all men. Why did the ID channel decide to do this case with a false name? I've no idea. If you search for ice cream and killers, Esty is the only name that is a real case. I can only assume that there were some legal reasons, or they were worried about people tracking the father Roland and the child down. It's very odd. The blog about the book, it was either written by AI or by someone who absolutely had no idea about the background and went solely off the book. It was all flowery language and poor woman who had tried to overcome a terrible life and all men were evil beasts. I managed about half a page before I shut it. I have a couple of what the hell moments for you. Esty's defence lawyer was a chap called Rudolf Meyer. He was the same defence lawyer that Joseph Fritzl had. The guy who used his daughter as a sex slave, had multiple children with her, and kept her and the children locked away in the basement for 21 years or whatever it was. This guy said that he would appeal to have the verdict overturned, but if he did, it's not in any of the reporting. And the last one. The psychiatrist who had spent 30 hours with Esty was also the expert psychiatric prosecution witness in the Joseph Fritzl case. I'm assuming that must be because there are not that many experts or lawyers of that level in a smaller country such as Austria. An aside, if anyone missed the furore about Fritzl recently and speculation that he was going to be released, that he had dementia, advanced or otherwise, that he was making statements that he really didn't see what was so bad about what he'd done, it's again probably press whipping up a frenzy about a standard procedure whereby his detention had to be legally reviewed. He's still in prison, won't be going anywhere except in a pine box, hopefully.
Before you end the episode, I have a question or theory I want to chuck at you.
Okay.
The purpose for Roland and Goitsagi, I hate her name.
Esty, yeah.
Yeah, why they chose to get married. Isn't there a thing that you can't testify against a spouse?
It depends. And I don't know. I didn't even think of that. And I didn't look it up how that applies in Austrian law.
And would it count if the things had happened prior to you getting married or not? I don't know.
Certainly in some parts of America, I know that would come under spousal privilege, which is what you're talking about. Because if you've had a conversation, pillow talk or whatever, and your spouse admitted to you what they'd done, you couldn't be forced to testify against them in court to say that...
Yeah, they had. Yeah, I was just wondering. That was something that popped into my head while you were talking about why would they choose to get married. It was either to get custody for the child. I'm thinking, is it something to do with the ice cream parlor? I don't know, ice cream shop, to maintain ownership or something? I'm not sure. Or is it because he does know something and didn't want to say? I don't know.
It could be either or. You very... well, may have hit the nail on the head there. It's very strange. And that is the end of this week's episode. And finally, the victims who should not be forgotten. Holger Holtz, aged 33. Manfred Hinterberger, aged 50.
So to all of you guys listening, thank you very much. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Murder Mid Monday Podcast. You can find everything associated with in the description below. If you want to subscribe to our Patreon, you can find that in there as well. And if you are on the Patreon, you know what to do. And we'll see you next time. Much love. Peace.
Bye.